Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of The Playlist. And this week, we have two special episodes of the show for you folks, both focused on the upcoming comedy film, Coming to America. Yes, with the number two in the title, so you know it's the sequel. On this episode, we're sharing a recent interview we had with one of the stars of the highly anticipated sequel, Jermaine Fowler. For those unaware, Coming to America picks up 30 years later, after the end of the original film, with Eddie Murphy's Prince Akeem discovering that during his trip to Queens 3 decades ago, he might have fathered a son, Lavelle, played by Fowler. From there, obviously, hilarity ensues. We spoke to Fowler about his breakout role in Coming to America, what it's like stepping into one of the most anticipated comedy sequels of all time, why he's really trying to get a Fifth Element spinoff film in development, and his love of Tim Burton shit, as he puts it. Needless to say, our conversation runs the gamut. And as I said, this is just our first of two episodes this week talking about Amazon's Coming to America. Stay tuned for our next episode later this week, where we talk to director Craig Brewer about sequels and his idea for an Eddie Murphy cinematic universe. But before I throw it to our Jermaine Fowler interview, you should know the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, anywhere else you find your favorite shows. So without further ado, here's our interview with Jermaine Fowler, where I'm joined by my regular co-hosts, Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farver. Enjoy. I want to welcome actor, comedian Jermaine Fowler to the Playlist Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first, I want to go back to that moment you were asked to be part of Coming to America 2. How fast did you say yes?
Oh, dude. that was a very fast yes, but was still curious about how they were going to execute the sequel. You guys are probably around my age, so like I think we've grown up with nothing but remakes, reimaginings, rehashing,
sequels
and stuff. But usually it's very easy for people to get it wrong because the people who made it special, the original so special, aren't involved, and it just feels hollow, feel like cash grabs. This was not the case. I got a call that Eddie was coming back, Arsenio was coming back, John Amos was coming back. Sherry Headley. Did I say Arsenio? Louis Anderson, like everybody was coming back. And that was that right there, I was like, I'm gonna be a part of this is the best situation to be in. I'm a part of the right movie at the right time. And I just was excited to get to work. And Eddie's just, this movie means just so much to me. I mean, it means so much to the world. So I'm so happy Eddie and like the crew were so hands-on with the script and like the from the costume, everything was just so hands-on with everybody. And they knocked it out of the park.
So what was the process like? Like, yeah, you got the phone call asking to be part of it, but did you like have to audition? Like, was it, you know, did you have to suck up a lot to Eddie? Like, what was
nah,
it?
Nah, man, I ain't got to audition no more. Talking about, man. They hit me up on Instagram.
Wow, really?
No. this is what happened. So this is what happened. I did my audition with Craig Brewer. And we, no joke, we talked about barbecue for 45 minutes. And that's a long conversation about barbecue. Yeah. But when you love barbecue, it's not that long. He's from Memphis, I'm from DC. We were just talking about our food and our culinary, you know, staples and stuff. And at one point I forgot why I was there. And I almost left until he said, oh, wait, the audition. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I came back. Did the audition the way I wanted to do it. There, you know, when it comes to sides, I just kind of scratch a lot of it out and make it my own. And so that's what I did. And the audition went well. I didn't think I'd get it. You know, I don't do well in auditions. I think I'm such a contrarian that it annoys people. I think I did one audition a while back for Showtime for that stand-up comedy show on Showtime with
Going Up? Was that what it was called? No.
It was a period. It was like, it took place.
Jim Carrey one.
No. Wait.
Yeah. Like he was a producer. It was like the 70s.
Yeah. What was it called?
I think it was called The Going Up or something. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Whatever it was. There was a stand-up show on Showtime. And one of the producers hated me. She gave me this look because I wouldn't, because I didn't want to do like black jive talk. I didn't want to do it. I hate that. Like, it just feels so antiquated, but it is a period piece. So like the times do call for it, but I didn't want to do it. So I just kind of etched that from the sides. And so when I was leaving, everyone said, good job, Jermaine. And I was like, all right, y'all have a good one. And this lady was just like mugging. And I was like, sorry, I don't. And so I thought, I didn't think I'd get Coming to America because I thought I took too much of a chance with making the character my own, which is what I hired to do. So anyway, my agents got back to me and said, you have a callback. And I said, get the F out of here. Okay. Can I curse, by the way?
Yeah, go for whatever you want.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. All right. I love to curse. So I said, fuck yeah. And I go back in to the audition and Craig was there. But Craig said, Jermaine, do not think of this as an audition. This is more of a workshop. And I just went, sure. Okay. I don't know what that meant. What that mean, you know? And he said, we're going to, you know, you're going to do your scenes. And then, you know, there's some notes I have or thoughts I have. We're going to go back and rework them out and do them again. And I hate that because you've prepared something for them to see. And if you don't like it, just tell me you don't like it. I don't want to on the spot kind of rework weeks of preparation. You know what I mean? It's just hard. If I was on set, I'd be like, oh yeah, I can do that. Cause there's some comfort there. But when you're on the spot, I'm like, all right, you know? So I did my first scene, did my second scene and I finished. And Craig said after my audition, he said, you know, it's, thank you, Jermaine, but it's very rare that an actor does everything you want on the first take. And I went, okay. And I didn't want to ruin the moment. So I was like, all right, have a good one. And I threw my mic out and like ran out of the building. And I didn't even get out to the you know, the first step of the outside of the building before I started crying. It's 15 years of this shit. I've been doing this and like on this type of movie, you know, it's Coming to America. So much like built up and I just like crying because like I just been through so much and you know my family's been through so much and this movie means so much to us. So I just felt so good. But I didn't get the call from my agent or my manager that I got the role. I got it from Boots Riley. I'm sorry.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. This nigga, he called me and said, hey Jermaine, just want to let you know you might be having some good news coming your way. I'm like, are you a producer? What are you talking about? And he goes, I'm at the All Black Film Festival in Miami. And a lot of the producers from Coming to America are down here talking about you from Paramount. And I'm like, wow, okay, cool. So my manager and my agent gave me the actual news the next day. I had to pretend like it was new, like fresh news that I'm hearing for the first time. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. Okay. You know, but it was Boots who told me the news and it was a good call, man.
Well, I mean, they know.
Yeah, but even then, you got the nerves out of it. You heard from Boots, and you're like, okay, cool. So when they call you, you can act like not like a fanboy. You can act like, you know, I've been there before.
Yeah, you know, that was, it's funny. My vibe, I wear my heart on my sleeve. So, like, I don't try to act like something I don't act like. You know, like, if I'm excited, I'm going to be excited. Like, you know, unless like, I don't want to embarrass myself or anything like that. But, like, I don't like, if something excites me, I'm going to just yell and scream and kick, you know what I mean? That's who I am. But this is different. This is Coming to America. Like, if I'm not excited about this movie, like, then why should anyone else be, you know? So it's just different. This movie means just everything to me. And it just, getting that news meant everything to me. So it was a great day.
Yeah. Within the movie itself, you know, a big part of the film is Lavelle, like, worried about living up to his, like, princely duties. And on a meta level, you must have been a little like concerned about having to somehow, you know, live up to the standard of the original and telling jokes opposite Eddie Murphy. And I know he was a big influence on you and your stand up. So at what point are you just like, okay, I can relax here? Because I would have been going out of my mind with Eddie Murphy standing right there.
So that correlation you just made with that question was very, very fresh. No one's asked me that question or even made that distinction before. So I appreciate that. Cause there were moments where I was like, am I doing it right? am I doing it right? Does Eddie like it? You know, does Craig like what I'm doing? And they never gave me any notes really. You know, there were times they were like, all right, give me a different take on, you know, this scene or, you know, give me something else. Or what Craig would say sometimes to me is, if I'm going too hard with a particular moment or like a line, he'll tell me after the take, take some butter off the toast or put more butter on the toast, you know, stuff like that, you know, culinary stuff.
Back to the barbecue.
Can you, by the way, there's a big garbage truck outside. Can you hear it?
It's bastards. Fine. It's fine.
All right. So, like, Optimus Prime.
Don't they know who you are?
Let me close the window. Hold on. I had the window open because I had this turtleneck and I'm hot as shit, but who cares? Goddamn suburbs, man. You move from the city because it's too loud. You come here, it's like, it's just as loud.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of that, you know, but, you know, it all kind of goes away. It would come
but
and
it's
go.
It's Eddie Murphy.
Me and Eddie's first day together doing a scene was the day we were doing a scene at a church, and everything sort of bubbled up to a particular line that I had to yell at him. I had to scream at Eddie Murphy, my hero. And part of me was like, do I want to give him, you know, the Denzel Washington fences, sort of like, do I want to go there or do I want to play it safe? I went fences. So I yelled at Eddie, and part of me was like, I yelled at him, and I went, I kind of like, you know, and then after that take, I kind of saw Eddie kind of like take that in, and it moved him to do his line the way he wanted to do it. And I'm like, all right, we got the level. And after that take, we yelled cut, and one of Eddie's homies looked at me and gave me a and thumbs up, and I went, yes, and I'm like, that's good. All right, cool, that's where I'm at. That was our first scene together, and I think that was very like just a very telling of like, you know, how welcoming he is for what I want to bring. And so a lot of that anxiousness kind of just brushed off of me after that. But then there'd be some days where it was like, all right, this is a new day. What am I going to bring? And you just wonder, like, you know, if you know, the director and, you know, Eddie is enjoying it. But one day I had to give myself credit. I was just like, dude, you're on Coming to America. Chill out, you know? relax. You're like, you're here for a reason. This is your purpose. And you can kind of just like do what you want to do. Do what makes you, you know? And I did. And that's kind of the correlation I think you're making with the movie. It's like at one point in the movie, Lavelle's character is kind of like having a cry. It's like, what am I doing here? You know? And then he's like, oh, let me chill out. Let me just be my, let me just do what makes me and make my own mark. And that was what I got hired to do. And then after we wrapped, it was like maybe 2 years, a year and a half before I actually saw the film, where I was like texting Rob, one of Craig's assistants, my homie Rob Smith. You know, I was like, yo, Rob, is the movie good? Like, he was like, he would fuck with me. Like, he'd just be like, man, you're terrible. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, man. And I'm like, well, seriously, is it good? You know? And he told me it was good. And I finally saw it. And I was like, I'm good. This is good, man. I was actually very proud of myself and the role and what I did with it. And I did everything I wanted to do. I did everything I wanted to do with that role. And I gave 110% of my thought and my care and my effort into it. So there was nothing I thought I could do better. Nothing I thought I could change. I'm very like 100% like, so like, I love it.
So you weren't worried that they were going to spend $50 million to CGI you out of everything and secretly hire somebody else to read your scenes?
I had a friend who had to do that. Like, he did a Coca-Cola commercial. And as a human being, as a man with skin on his face, right? And they had to CGI him out. They didn't even CGI it. They just like drew a polar bear over his face. What? Yeah, and kept his voice. I don't know why. It's just so offensive. So they did that to my friend. His name's Danny Jollis, if you're ever thinking about it. Danny Jollis did a Coca-Cola commercial. Or Pepsi. Which one has the polar bears?
It's Coca-Cola.
Right. Yeah, so fuck Coca-Cola. they drew my homie out of the commercial and drew a bear over his face. And I wasn't worried that was going to happen. I was more just so thinking about the original. I was like, it's going to, you know, stand alone from the original. It's going to be a proper sequel. That's it. Because I knew what I did was good. Like, I just knew. Like, I was very confident what I did. But I wanted to know, like, if everything felt good, like if this was like something people were going to like love and like, you know, be as impactful as the original, like all that stuff went through me, and I just wanted to see it. So I saw it twice on New Year's Eve, I think before Christmas or something like that, and it was such a warm feeling that I had just seeing Eddie reprise Randy Watson and Clarence and Arsenio. Like everybody came back, and like how you're giggling, like that's how I felt. I was giddy the entire movie. I was like, tee! Like it was just that feeling. And I think that's what people are going to feel when they watch it. You know, I think everyone's going to just feel relieved and laugh and share these moments with their families. Generations are going to come together and just and laugh and just have a good time. And it's going to be a reunion, I believe.
Yeah, we were talking about it before this, and we some of us just got done watching it. We're like, yeah. It's so delightful. Like the movie is all of the joy that the original has. It kept that. It didn't bring any cynicism to it that a lot of modern sequels would. It's
yeah,
so
mm-hmm. freaking great. They discount a lot of the fans, and I sometimes I don't think it's fair when a sequel discounts people for liking something that made them. Listen, when I go to a movie, I do that to. One day, my dad kicked me out of the house, and it was a terrible day. I was like 17, 18. My dad kicked me out of the house. The first thing I did was go see King Kong. That's the first thing. Peter Jackson's King Kong. That was the first thing I did. That movie is long as shit.
Yeah, that'll kill some, like 3 hours there.
Yeah. So I wasn't. So. I was homeless, but for 3 hours I wasn't. You know what I mean? So thank you, Peter Jackson, for your runtime. It was that. So think about that. If you're doing a sequel, you can't shit on the fans who, one, built that up and supported it, and it's spoken of it. You can't do that. So I think you respect the fans, but also you just let it grow. Let the story grow organically. You know, Akeem is not, he's not a bachelor anymore. He's got 3 daughters and a strange son, and he's got a family and a kingdom to uphold. He's not the same guy he was. And I think once you embrace that growth and that natural progress that we all have to embrace, you have a great story. And that's what they did with the sequel, I think. And I think it's just got to feel, it's got to feel truthful. You got to embrace that truth. That's where the best comedy comes from. And I think this one did a great job in embracing that, man. And the inclusion and the representation in this film with, you know, including African singers and African art and African clothes, you know, everything from Ruth Carter to Fatima, everyone did a great job of really expressing what they loved about the original and just expanding it for the sequel, man. That's all they did. The expansion was just so beautiful to see, man.
And really quick, you know, we wouldn't be doing our due diligence if we didn't ask about stuff you got coming up. I mean, we know you're in Tignataro's film, Am I Okay? That's going to production soon. Also announced you're doing a voice for the upcoming Disney Channel Marvel series, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. But let's be real, as fun as that is, when are you debuting in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? When you're going to be in the next Avengers, what else is on the horizon?
So I appreciate you asking me that. I feel like in this day and age, we just don't get too many surprises anymore. Mm-hmm. Minus COVID. I'm talking about like cinematic surprises, like as far mm-hmm. as like everyone knows what you're going to be doing. Everyone knows what this movie's about. Even the trailers give away so much about. So sometimes I like to try to keep those things at bay and I don't want to like explain so much, like, but I'll say this, everything that I'm developing, I'm super proud of, and everything's just different. I told myself after coming to America, I want to show my range and really dive into things that aren't comedic, things that are pretty heavy and dark, and I want to just act my ass off. I love what Steve Carell has done. I love what he's come from. I love Robert Pattinson, what he's come from being a fucking vampire to really shedding all that away to really be taken seriously as an actor, and now he's Batman. The irony's funny. And then you got who else? Even Kurt Russell, like he started off in network shows like Me, you know, Superior Donuts, and he wanted to sort of like just team up with John Carpenter to build, you know, just a different phase in his career. And that's where I'm at right now, is building a different phase, a new phase in my life and my career, and I really just want to embrace that growth, and that's where it kind of comes from. So right now I just really just embracing that curiosity of what stories people are afraid to tell, what people don't want to tell. I'll be honest with you. One thing I really want to do is beyond the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I really want to tell a story to, I want to tell a story about Ruby Rod from Fifth Element.
Nice.
See, I am a genius. So, right. I want to do that so bad because that's where my head is at. Is like, I want to take cult, like classic favorite characters and stories and movies and like really like kind of really go in a different direction and like, you know, really expand on what, you know, fan favorites were like Ruby Rod and like, you know, that shit, like stuff like that. I really want to like, and Freakazoid, like I love Freakazoid. Like
who doesn't?
But so I'm saying like, there's so many things I grew up with. I'm such a weirdo. Like I never really liked the things I was supposed to like. I was always into the cult stuff and like, you know, different genres that were like, you know, when I tell people Sleepy Hollow is my favorite movie, they get weirded out. They're like, what? I'm like, I like Tim Burton shit. I love gothic shit. The Rock is like my favorite like action movie. Like,
hell yes.
Yeah. Oh. So that's shit I want to do. Like, I want to bring that feeling back. I miss that John Carpenter sort of like, you know, iconoclastic, you know, like I want to, that's shit I'm into right now. I love Marvel movies, but sometimes like that schedule kind of takes up your life. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep my life open to, you know, expanding and like doing the stuff that I'm truly passionate about first. And I want to offend people. I want to offend everybody. I want to be, so I love Chappelle and I love everything Pryor did and Eddie did. Like I want to make people laugh at themselves again. So I want to find stories that really walk that edge that I think is just missed to me. Anyway, there's so much I want to do. And so many people I want to open doors for people. I want to open doors for people from my hometown in Hyattsville. I want to inspire everybody. I want people to just do what they want to do and not feel afraid anymore. Like, I want people to feel like empowered to go do the thing that they want to do, man. And I definitely want to do stuff that people don't expect me to do.
That's awesome. So
I await the Ruby Rod movie Kickstarter. Yeah.
And
I will
you
throw some money that
man.
Way.
Yeah, man. I'm dead serious about that. Like we're getting the convo started about that. I think that'd be the funniest. I think that'd be the funniest thing, man. For real.
Well, yeah. So we got to wrap up here, but I want to say for people out there, definitely check out Coming to America March 5th on Amazon, but also Judas and the Black Messiah, speaking of expanding your range. And thank you, Jermaine Fowler, for being part of this. This was a really fun conversation.
Now, thanks for having me, y'all. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Shout out to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Oh.